I did actually, you know, had a few. And one was because I remember I was actually doing a kill count check. Each time I killed someone, I would, like, you know, pretty much just tick it off. And I got down to like 40 or something. Probably maybe around 29. I must have, I felt terrible actually. I must have clipped this guy on the nose. His nose was bleeding, obviously. And then there's this next shot. It's kind of weird. There's this next shot. And, This guy had a scarf and he was about to hit me, like, in here, and I was about to, like, take the hit and then go down or whatever. Anyway, instead, like, these are trains, and he smacks me in the ear. I am not even joking. And I kind of looked at him, like, you know, what? What did that look like? Like, I was like, all right, I won't hit anyone else again, I'm really sorry. Like, you don't want to mess with those guys.
Yeah, exactly.
In the closing scene where you say you're not coming back to Narnia, you say you've learned everything you can from Narnia. What did you learn?
That's a good question, actually. You know, I think we learned, well, I think I and Susan, mostly my character, learned a very important lesson in humility. And I think leadership, at the end of the day, is about, you know, serving other people. And it's about serving, you know, a place or a country or, you know, and not serving yourself. And so Peter really had to learn that very valuable lesson and reinstate his trust in Aslan. And, you know, Aslan says, you know, you've learned all you can. You know, your trust is 100% in me and all the leadership skills you've learned. And then Peter obviously has to pass Narnia on to Caspian and has to pass the torch on, you know, very honourably and nobly, and I don't think he would have done that at the start by any means. So, you know, there's definitely a strong leadership journey there.
Unlike the first film, which is very character-driven, this one seems to be very much action-driven. So the question is for both of you. Did you approach your roles any differently than you would have for the first?
I definitely think that I've always wanted to do stunts, definitely. Yeah. I've always been like that, and also, I think because Lucy has grown up since the last film, she understands the fighting more, and so I think she feels like it's all right to be a part of it. So I think approaching the role differently is definitely approaching it with a lot more, let's say, openness.
And for me too, you know, I actually trained in New York for 3.5 months. I trained all my acting to get better and to challenge, because I knew I was taking on a new role this time, actually kind of a different character. And also I knew it was going to be a lot more of a physical film. So I trained sort of three times a week in this underground Brooklyn boxing gym. And I was, I was literally the only white person, the only English person there. So I was like, hey guys, how's it going? It was very awkward. And I remember when I was on the speed bag one day, and I was like, dum-dum. Like, just like, yeah, I love this boy. I mean, he must have been 13. I don't know why he wasn't at school. I'm not going to answer that question, but he was just, like, so fast, you know, really incredible. And it really gave me the motivation to, you know, to go full ahead with these stunts and to commit myself 110%. And I, watching it back, I was really pleased with the physical aspect of the film.
Right now, we're noticing that there's a lot of paparazzi that are following celebrities around. Is that starting to happen with you, and are people giving you help and having to deal with that? Because it's kind of a strange atmosphere.
It's a strange feeling. I mean, I'm only 12, but I've never really, I still don't understand the concept of you know, taking pictures of people who are in films and stuff, and I still don't really understand it. But we are kind of getting a bit of that outside the hotel sometimes, but it's good because, like, you know, our team are really supportive, and, like, you know, they help us through it. And every time we're in the car, like, what do you want to do? Do you want to just, you know, go for it, or are you going to stop? And it's definitely a decision,
yeah.
But it's, you know, you've got to make it together, really.
Do you experience that back in England as much as here, or is that more of an American thing?
I think it's more here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, for paparazzi, I think it's a very different thing to fans. You know, there's two different things. There's the paparazzi and there's the fans. And for me, I said to Georgie yesterday, and Georgie was upset because I'd been waiting there for 5 hours, and I kind of understand that. But also, you know, if it's a paparazzi and they're making a profit out of your signature and your photo, that's not really why we're in it. You know, we're just four normal kids. I mean, that sounds so weird, but what we really are. And like, if it's like a kid, you know, of course we're going to find out. Of course we do whatever we can. But if it's a paparazzi and they're making a profit out of it, then, you know, I think there definitely needs to be like kind of a restriction there, and our representation is really, really good for that.
But always like ground rules, there should be like there's a line, you know, I think there's a line with every single, like, you know, almost, well, we're not celebrities, but celebrities, you know, that you just don't cross really. And nobody's really crossed it yet, really, have they?
I agree.
So
no,
that's good.
Yeah, we've had some crazy
restrictions. Georgie, you know, it's interesting to watch this. It seems like your character in particular has a closer relationship with Adam. Like, everybody is worshipful of him, but you seem to have a really close personal relationship. Why do you think that your character has that more than the other kids?
I think that Lucy's connection to Adam has something to do with the fact that she's the youngest, and she's always had a more open mind, I think, than the others. I mean, she introduced them to Narnia, and she got them caught up in the whole thing to start off with, and I think because she has such an open mind and she's very trusting, I think Aslan sees that in her, and I think he shows himself to her first because he knows that she will believe that he's actually there, and she won't think, oh, it's just a vision, it's a fleeting thing, he's just a wild lion. If she knew it was Aslan and she knew that she had to do something, and she didn't let her siblings, you know, beat her down about her beliefs. I think that's why Aslan kind of believes in her a bit more than shows himself to her.
He said that the White Witch was scary, but we haven't seen anything yet until Moran. Why do you think that?
Well, because to be quite frank, the White Witch is inhuman, and Miraz is human. And I think whenever you're fighting humans, you're fighting something that's real. I think it's a lot more scary. I think it's a different world, you know. And there's one thing to be afraid of, for instance, a bear, but it's another thing to be afraid of a human. And I think there's, you know, as scary as the White Witch is, Miraz, I think, is on another level. And especially working with Sergio Castillo, the actor. I mean, when I would do the fight scenes with him, I don't know if it was, but his eyes would just, you know, he would be like chatting, laughing, like, yeah. And he'd go to see, and I'd be shaking off.
Like, he's evil across the set.
I mean, and he was so small, it was completely intimidating and definitely a step up as a villain to the Narnia, to the Chronicles of Narnia.
Two-part question. Yeah. Have both of you read the books?
Yeah.
Okay. The question that everyone asks about the books and have asked for decades is kind of related to the one earlier. The paradox of the book is that Aslan is larger, yet harder to see. And that seems to be saying something about aging. Have either of you thought about what that message was all about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really interesting question, you know. But I think when we talk about seeing, I think it's more believing. You know, you believe and then you see. It's not a question of, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't want to go into the analogy of vision and analogy, but it's obviously there. You know, Aslan represents God. And people say every day, well, why can't I see God? If he's there, why can't I see him? And Peter and Susan and Lucy and Evan, well, not even Lucy, you know, Peter and Susan mostly, why didn't I see him? You know, why isn't he there? He's this force, he's this unbelievable, you know, being, and why can't I see him? He's this huge lion, you know, in a physical form. Well, because you're not believing, you know. When they start to believe, when Peter really, you know, sees that thing about Aslan has to really remorse all of his sins almost, then he starts to see Aslan. Then the magic starts to happen. And it's almost like letting it in, you know. It's almost like you have to open yourself up, believe, and then you see. And I don't think that's anything to do with aging. I think it's more to do with, because obviously, you know, Georgie and Lucy are much younger than us. I think it's more to do with your strength and belief.
So based on that, William, then what do you think caused the lack of faith from Peter to Aslan?
I think pieces of skill is very self-entitled. I really, I think his thing is ego got on top of him, and I'm not sure that's ever happened to any of us before, but when you're up, and he was definitely up, and he was the high king, and then he got back to England, nobody had any respect for him. He got into Narnia, nobody had any respect for him there. They didn't have a parade for him by any means. And then he just thought he would do it without Aslan. You know, he thought he could take it on. And also I think, you know, using an example would be that Aslan sort of took his fight last night. You know, Aslan sort of took the witch, and he was fighting, but Aslan eventually saved the day. And I feel like, you know, when Lucy says that one line to him, I think that definitely resonates an even stronger, you know...
Harsh.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very harsh. And so, yeah, I think he just feels very self-entitled.
How would each of you describe your perfect Narnia?
What's your perfect Narnia?
Perfect Narnia. I loved the Narnia when it's after the Prince Caspian, and it's when Telmarine and the Narnians living harmoniously together. You've got that amazing balance of like magical creatures and then humans who actually originally came from our world, which I think is a really nice touch. And I really love the fact that, you know, they do learn to get on and live together, and, you know, that Narnia was never right unless the son of Adam was king and all that, and it's true, and I think Prince Caspian does bring that, so good on him.
You want to take a shot at the question earlier about why you think Lucy? Lucy has more struggle seeing Aslan in this movie than the previous. And once again, she's older, and he says, you know, things are changed when you're older. What do you think that was all about?
I think when you get older, your mind does close more. I mean, if you think about it, when you're a child, everything's new to you. You can play, your imagination is so amazing. You can play all these wonderful games, and it's just such a lovely time. And then you get older, and if you have like an imaginary friend, it like fades away, and then you kind of grow up more and you stop playing those games. But I think that has something to do with it. But the thing is, Narnia isn't a game, it's a real world. And so although Aslan fades for a while, he comes back and he's stronger than ever and he's bigger than ever. Because I love that saying, you know, as long as you grow, so shall I. Because, you know, when I grow, it's like he becomes more mature and more bigger. And it's almost like Aslan suits you, if you know what I mean. And Narnia suits you more. I don't think that makes sense, but it made sense in my head. but I think that is, I mean, it's all about compatibility and Narnia suiting yourself and your personality almost, I think.
Did you have any conversation with Douglas Gresham about that?
I haven't. I've had conversations with Douglas Gresham about lots of other things, considering I, but not about that. But I might give it a try.
Yeah.
I can understand because... Yeah, I'm sure he'll be a very interesting person to talk to about that,
wouldn't you? I mean, you may have discussed it with Lewis.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what they used to talk about, was the books all the time.
Well, why not? But, I don't know, I think what George is saying is really interesting, and, you know, it's a lot about, I don't know if anyone's read Blake here, but I think it's a lot about that innocence, you know, and there's innocence when you're younger, and there's an almost a deeper innocence when you're older. Mm-hmm. And I think... to that fact, you know, the little lamb and tiger, all those, both those are about innocence and experience, and, you know, obviously Blake's things were about innocence and experience, and so I think when Lucy's younger, she has this innocent outlook, I think all the poems use it, and when they come back, they're almost, they've had this experience, and so they're almost cynical, they're almost more closed off, and they're older, but they get almost a deeper innocence through this lesson, and we see that, and Aslan sees that in them as well, and that's also to answer the previous question, why they're given their exit to Narnia nobly.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, you're saying about them being more cynical, I think that because they've been to Narnia before, they feel like they know Narnia better than anybody else, because they've ruled it, they know it better than, you know, everybody else, and then they come back to completely different Narnia. And I don't think they can cope with that as well as they do until the end. But I think they do come through there and save the day.
There's time for one more question.
Yeah.
The four of you obviously have spent the last few years together and grown, judging by the chemistry on screen, have grown pretty close. Knowing that two of the four are not coming back for the next film, how hard was it wrapping that film to sort of have the family disperse?
Wrapping the film, I think, was okay because, you know, we knew we'd see them here in New York and everywhere else, and, you know, we'd get to that point where we'd be seeing each other a lot in publicity and things, but I think it's going to be quite hard because we did kind of, I mean, I started auditioning when I was 7 and I met the others when I was 8 years old, and I'm 13 in July, and I think that is an amazing journey to spend with a group of people. And I think we all know each other so well. I mean, you know, I could probably tell them lots of stuff about you, and you could tell them lots of stuff about me. And you know, we know each other so well. I think that's a really hard bond. And because it's such an amazing bond, I don't think it will break, which is a really good thing. I don't think it will be broken because you can't break something like that so abruptly, if you know what I mean.
I agree with that. And also,
we'll still be friends.
For me, it was actually really sad filming the final scene. And you know, it was almost one of our final scenes on set, the moment when I hand the sword over to Ben, and when Anna gives him a kiss goodbye, you know, it was sad, you know, we won't go to that, but it was really sad for me, and I said to Andrew, you know, because I felt like, you know, being emotional. Andrew said, no, just be stoic. And I was like, okay, well, I just trust Andrew. He's my director. I trust him 100%. So then when I saw the film back, I was like, I knew why he did it, because, like, we were ready. You know, and at that point, I was still thinking, am I ready to leave Narnia? You know, as William, am I ready to be leaving Narnia? Because it's been a huge part of my life for 6 years. And so, but now that I see the film, I do feel like I've moved on. You know, I do feel like I'm ready for something different, I'm ready for something new, and I know, like Georgie says, our friendships will never, like, whenever we see each other, we just slip back into those dynamics again, and it's really
never break out of it. It's like a little Easter egg mold, and you come out of it, and then Easter comes around again, and you pop back into the mold, and, you know, you bake your chocolate egg like you always have done, and it's fine, and it all works very well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.